Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by Drupalize Me. Become a Drupal super genius from the convenience of your own living room. Lullabot's extensive Drupal training library contains almost 200 hours of streaming video, including in-depth classes on subjects such as CCK, Views, Drupal theming, jQuery and JavaScript, Drupal performance and scalability, and new Drupal 7 specific videos being released every month. Get immediate access to the entire library when you become a member. For more information, visit drupalize.me today. Go, Drupalize yourself.
I'm Ken Rickard. I'm a senior developer and team lead at Palantir.net. We build a lot of websites for what I call institutional nonprofits. We do a lot of work with universities and museums and cultural institutions. And one of the things that these folks have in common is very, very large, complex bureaucracies. And very frequently, those large, complex bureaucracies map to how they want to manage the content generation that goes on their websites. So, give you a great example. So you work at a large university, and there's a biology department, which is part of the College of Arts and Sciences. And you want to have a graduate student update your portion of the biology department website. So they have to have rights and privileges just in that little corner of the world, right? But the Dean of Arts and Sciences might have privileges across biology and physics and chemistry, right? So this is a very, very common problem we run into. That's one of the publishing challenges that we were continually solving for clients in Drupal 5 and in Drupal 6. They'd come to us with the same kind of problems. How do we make it easier for this person to focus in and target on the work that they have to do on this website? Okay? So Workbench, which started out as the internal code name for how we were going to fix these problems, what we were going to do, and we did a presentation about this in San Francisco at DrupalCon last year, was pool our resources and pretty much announce publicly what we were going to do to build an editorial suite that we were going to install on every D7 site. And what we wanted to architect was a pluggable system where we had things like content moderation and this access control schema and tools to make live publishing easier, scheduled publication, things like that. But the clients wouldn't be required to use all the pieces. You could turn them on, you could turn them off. The other big challenge we were trying to solve is many of these things you can do in Drupal 6, many of these things you can do now in Drupal 7. The problem is you might end up cobbling together a website with 8 different modules written by 12 different developers that use 3 different paradigms for the same concept. So you end up with a very, very confused user interface. You end up with some really nasty code problems from a maintenance standpoint, because you might be trying to graft this module onto this other module, and they don't really work well together, so you form alter things in very ugly ways to make it work the way you want it to. So what we wanted to do was re-architect some of these things in a way that anticipated that they were going to have to work together. So Workbench is this code word for, these are the things on our hit list of editorial tasks. And we want to have a suite of modules, not a distribution, not an installation profile, not a monolithic thing, but a system that other people can contribute to and that we know will work together in a unified way. It's in some respects similar to things like Kit, which is the spec for how to write features that are shareable. I would almost say it's similar to that. So that's sort of the genesis of that, in terms of what are the problems we're trying to solve and in terms of how are we trying to solve them.
And so with the node access component, and specifically, like, just talk a bit about the new hooks that you're able to leverage in Drupal 7 to be able to create, you know, it used to have like organic groups or other very specific monolithic solution for all node access, but talk a bit about like what you're able to do now with the new node access system in Drupal 7 and with Workbench.
So there's a component called Workbench Access, which is my principal contribution to this whole thing. Let me digress a little bit into the history of Node Access. Node Access is a system that came in Drupal 4.5 and has largely been unchanged ever since. Node Access does two primary things. It controls who can view content, and it controls, historically, who can view content, and it filters lists of content for users. It's the organic groups model. You know, users in group A can see content assigned to group A. Users in group B can see content assigned to group B. And then you can also extend that to editors, and, you know, so you have view, edit, and delete privileges in the Node Access table. It's a very interesting API. It's actually something that other content management systems doesn't have, but it is rather complicated, it is rather limiting, and Node Access modules do not interoperate very easily in Drupal 6, anything prior to Drupal 7. In DrupalCon Szeged, we had a Birds of a Feather meeting, and a number of lead developers were at this meeting, and we were all kicking around the ideas for things that we wanted to improve. So, like, my big piece in Drupal 7 are alter hooks to Node Access rule sets. Right. So just like there's a hook menu alter, there's now a hook node grants alter. So if you want to integrate organic groups with taxonomy access control, you can write a bridge module that modifies the behavior at runtime now. You couldn't do that in Drupal 6. Now, Larry Garfield's idea was, let's take the old hook access function, which in Drupal 6 and below was a privileged function by the owner of the node type. It was a node module specific hook. So, like, project module had this problem. Only project module had privileged access to the grants of its nodes. And we were trying to do some work to improve Drupal.org, and it was actually a big challenge because you couldn't fix that architecturally until Larry's proposed what is now hook node access. Hook node access is actually separate from the old node access API. Hook node access is a simple mechanism that any module can hook into during create, view, edit, or delete, and just simply say, yes, this person can do this operation, or no, this person can't. And the big innovation there is hook node access has an explicit denial grant. The way it works is, if any module says no, the answer is no, which is a very different paradigm. So it becomes really, really easy to build complex workflow structures in some cases. Simple example, and I will promote a little bit. In the book Drupal 7 Module Development, there's a whole chapter on Node Access, which explains this in great detail, and I wrote it, so there you go. There's a sample module in there. It's actually 8 lines of code and 10 lines of comments. It's called the delay module, and it implements the following business logic. Any member of our website can come and post content once they register. However, if they have not been a member for more than 48 hours, they cannot post content. This prevents hotheads from coming in and flaming our user base out of anger. So we have a cooling off period. You do it in hook node access, it is literally 6 or 8 lines of code, perfectly functional, and not impossible to do prior to Drupal 7, but very, very difficult.
Cool. And so I get the sense of, you know, universities is a good example where there's different departments and they may all be like on one Drupal site, and, you know, the different department heads have access to the different sections of the website that they're responsible for. So how do you sort of architect that with taxonomy, or how do you sort of distinguish between which sections of the website, and with the Workbench module, how do you assign those sections to different people?
Right. There's 3 background pieces, I think, that I would talk about in the Drupal 6 world, and I think people are familiar with these. In both the organic groups and, say, taxonomy access control models in Drupal 6, there's a one-to-one mapping of privilege to section. So in the organic groups module, there's group A and group B, and if an editor is going to be able to have control over group A and group B, they have to be assigned to both groups. Even taxonomy access control, even though taxonomy itself has hierarchies, taxonomy access control actually stores one-to-one relationships. So even if you have a nested tree of the Department of Arts and Sciences and physics, biology, and chemistry underneath that, in the taxonomy access control paradigm, you'd have to store all 5 of those grants to give the person universal access to that entire section. Those two systems are, I'm not denigrating them. They're great. They're very, very useful. They're really, really important. What we tried to do in Drupal 6, because a client asked for it, was graft that kind of permission hierarchy onto their menu system. We did this for two clients, in fact, because the menu system provided a natural hierarchy that they understood, and it was a workflow that they were already doing. So what we did was we grafted permissions on top of menu sections. So you might assign something to the primary menu, the primary links menu in Drupal 6, and it could be nested, and any level of that menu could be declared an editorial section. And you could give someone access to any level of that menu, and that gave you the right to edit or delete content in that menu item or any of its children. Right? It's a different storage model, and in Drupal 6 it was really, really hard. And it also turns out that the menu system is not the best place to do this. So when we were refactoring for Drupal 7, we thought this was really important. So what Workbench Access provides is an API into the Node Access system that lets other modules declare hierarchical structures, although technically they don't have to be hierarchical, they could be flat structures. You could use an OG model if you chose to, right? But you can now do a hierarchical group model that says, okay, we have three groups of things on our website, right? We have deans, and we have professors, and we have students, and deans control professors, and professors control students, and we have this cascade effect, right? So Workbench Access has a pluggable API for determining what system you're going to use to control what editorial sections are active on the site. And right now in the first release, it supports menu and taxonomy, because those are the two common hierarchies that Drupal users are used to using.
What's sort of the user interface for doing that then? What's sort of the expose in the Workbench backend?
It depends on who you are. So if you're an administrator, it's interesting because what the administrator has to do first is say, hey, we're going to use menu or we're going to use taxonomy. And we're going to use, if you're using taxonomy, for example, these are the vocabularies that determine our structure. You can have multiple vocabularies active. And then you have two basic options. You can just say, turn everything in that vocabulary into an editorial section. Or you can cherry pick. There are cases where people might, say you have this university structure again, right? And the physics department has subsections and needs more granular control, but the biology department doesn't care, right? As the administrator, you can go in and say, okay, yes, we have these 18 departments, but we really only have 15 editorial categories. But we still tag our content in these 18 ways. So that's really, really interesting. And then the administrator can go in and assign individual editors to a section or entire roles to a section. So you can say, hey, if someone is in the librarian role, they have access to the entire library tree. This is actually one of the things in the demo site. It's like, hey, there's a librarian, and you'll see it on Thursday when we do the presentation. So that's really, really interesting. From an end user perspective, if you are the librarian, and this is where Workbench is coming from, right? You're the librarian, you just log in, and up in the upper left-hand corner is a link that says My Workbench. And you click it, and it will show you your stuff, right? These are the things that you wrote, or these are the things that's in your editorial field. And if Workbench Access is enabled, it will tell you, oh, you have access to this thing. It's just a column in the table of content. It'll say, well, you can edit this thing because it's in the biology section and you're assigned to the arts and sciences school. It's transparent to those users, and that's the way it should be. We want to get Drupal out of the way of the content creators for the most part. All right, just let them sidestep it. So all they do is they go in to create content and they're asked one simple form question, which is, hey, you're a member of the College of Arts and Sciences, right? So you'd be asked, would you like to assign this to biology, physics, or chemistry? And that's all they have to do. If it turns out that they have access to edit it, but it's not in their section for some reason, and there are Drupal permissions that would allow for this, then they're just told, oh, you can edit this thing, but it really belongs to the theater department, and you can't move it. But we're going to let you edit it anyway. You just can't change that one aspect of it. So ideally, it is invisible to most users, but it gives a lot of flexibility to site builders and administrators.
Cool. And finally, what's sort of like on the horizon and the roadmap for the Workbench and Node Access, or also as a module as a whole?
There's some interesting things coming down. So Workbench Access right now, you can only assign something to one section, and that was a feature driven by the launch date and DrupalCon and all. So the next thing is to be able to assign something to multiple sections, which is going to be pretty common, I think. There's a couple other things in the queue I'm actually fixated on a very interesting idea that Steve Persh, who's one of our new developers, came up with on his second day on the job. Right now, there's a workbench moderation module, which follows the old content moderation or workflow model of linear staging of content, right? So you have drafts, and then they go to review, and then they can be published, right? And you can have a live version of a node or a piece of content, and you can have a draft that's in review without unpublishing the live version. Very classic thing. But right now, that's a linear process. So if your publishing process says the student writes it, the professor reviews it, and the dean publishes it, it has to go through this linear step. And Steve said, you know what? We need to do that asynchronously. We need to do that outside of this linear flow. What we need is the workbench approval module. And the workbench approval module is this asynchronous approval of publication status. So say you work for a very large organization that has very real consequences if you make a mistake on your website. So, you know, so if Microsoft goes in and says something libelous on their website accidentally, that's a huge problem. So in that scheme, you know, the content creator writes the article, but it has to be approved by editorial, legal, and PR. Right now, you have to move it through a linear workflow. Steve's vision is, no, the PR person should just be able to log in and have a list of, hey, here's everything waiting for PR review. And they should be able to go in and sign off on it. And once every department has signed off on it, then it can go live, right? Without actually having to go through this linear state change. It's really just a, yes, it was reviewed, it's checked off. If I had 2 free days to do almost anything, I would go write that module because I just think it's really, really cool. But it's Steve's and he'll probably do it. But there's things like that in the pipe. We also want to do better and more integration. So for example, one of the things on my list is making sure the scheduler module works perfectly with Workbench. I think it works in 95% of all cases. There's like one nasty little edge case that we have to go and say, okay, so what do we have to do to make sure that the scheduled publication of content works well without us having to reinvent the wheel that scheduler module does very, very well, right? So those are the kind of things that are on our list.
Cool, well, thanks.
Thanks, Kent, it was fun.